in order to go and pay their taxes. No, but that's the thing is, you see, that's a state administrative level posting. It's not, you know, the individual counties didn't run the DMVs. Yeah, well, isn't that the old rainy day fund? Yeah. Well, you know, I'm having a tough time tonight. I'm sorry. Too much gin on the cornflakes. The other name for that rainy day fund is the governor's discretionary fund, isn't it? I could be wrong. Everybody wants to have something socked away for potential disasters. On the other hand, you're right. I mean, if we're going to complain about 5-day-old babies freezing to death and 87-year-old women freezing to death, then we'd better not complain when the DHHR secretary comes before the legislature and says, "Look, I need some money." Yeah, and you know, what about that $45 million? Well, there's some truth in that, Jeff, but the problem is, every time these Republicans holler about eliminating the food tax, they offer absolutely nothing to replace the revenue. You know, they're just like the Republicans in Washington who just want to kill government.
Well, I mean, anytime, you know...
Wow, you sound a lot better.
I am a little bit. I got some medicine.
Randy just turned the miracle now to make you sound better.
Oh, well...
You got all stereo in my headphones, but that's neither here nor there. We're tinkering tonight.
Well, we you know, when we did the workers' comp thing, we didn't come, you know, we haven't come up with the source of funding for that either.
Time out, Jeff. Little golf clap for engineer Andy Kerber. We made the string work. Okay. Hey, where was your little golf clap?
Oh, I was holding the phone up with one hand.
Oh, no, this is the sound of one hand clapping.
Yeah, I was clapping.
You're a freaking Zen master now, Jeff. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Let's see. Juliet Terry, you know who she is?
No, I don't.
The State Journal. She said, she was doing a little interview, she's on the way out. She said that when, this is her quote, she said that when Republicans were coming into the House, they done that in the night?
Mm-hmm.
They said, a couple of them were, she quoted as saying, "Hey, this is going to be a really very easy session. This governor is giving us everything we want." That's what the Republicans were saying.
Well, they're trying to put a brave face on. The fact of the matter is, they tried to obstruct the stuff in the special session, and they got spanked. And they got shown up for their obstructionist policies. Let's leave the special session alone. It's done. It's over with.
Well, you like the comp bill and you support it then?
I'm waiting to get wised up. Okay, I'm desperately hoping that I'm dead wrong about all of it.
You want to see where that $45 million's coming from, don't you?
Yeah, and I want to see my power bill.
Yeah. And your gas bill. Gas bill's going to take a hit because the coal's only going to
1%,
but the gas tax is doubling.
Well, my house only sits near about 3,000 gas wells, so naturally we don't have access to gas. So it's, you know, we're an electric household. There was something I heard mentioned. Did you hear him say that it's time for insurance companies to step up and behave?
Yeah, that got the second biggest round of applause behind "We will stop frivolous lawsuits in West Virginia once and for all." I think that got the loudest clap of all.
Yeah, the only thing is, there aren't any. It's easy to stop something that doesn't exist.
Do you think he thinks there are none?
I think somebody's wised him up. That's why it's easy to stop them. There aren't any.
Oh,
But if you read the newspaper, Jeff, you know, there's that blather about ending third party bad faith, and that just, oh Lord, that crawls on me. You know, the idea, you know, Bill Drunk rear ends Jeff.
Yeah.
And the insurance company.
I knew him.
Hung out with him in a couple of bars. He rear ends you and refuses, and his insurance company refuses to pay you what you're due and owing.
Yeah.
Right now, under the state of the law, you've got a chance, you have the right to sue that insurance company directly.
That's right.
And make them be honorable, to the extent an insurance company can be honorable. And that's called third-party bad faith. And, of course, the insurance industry's out there screaming that we've got to get rid of it. Now, is that consumer-friendly legislation?
If you get rid of that, what do you do if somebody hits you and it's their fault and they don't want to pay you?
And the insurance company messes with you. You do what people in, for instance, the great state of Virginia, the oldie, the Commonwealth, the oldie Dominion, you eat it, you lump it.
Oh, well, they can't.
You take what they give you, and you darn well like it.
They can't just tell you we ain't paying you.
One of them.
I'm not sure. I mean, it doesn't.
The thing is, they have to pay. But the question is, can they drag it out? Can they lowball you? And the thing is, in this state, we say that if they pull that garbage on you, you get to sue the insurance company directly. And by virtue of that, you know, if you can prove the bad faith, which is very hard to prove in the first place, if you can prove the bad faith, the insurance company not only has to pay you, they have to pay your attorney's fees.
Usually I know around here that, you know, if you're in an accident and you have to file a suit and go through the process, it could be up to a year before you get a trial day.
And it can be through before you get a trial.
It can be.
One of the things that at least injects a little bit of honesty into that process, Jeff, is the notion that if they mess with you and they deliberately delay and they drag it out and they try to put you into an economic hardship where you have to settle for lowball money, then you have recourse against them. And we know how they behave already. How are they going to behave if we take that sword of Damocles out from over their head?
He, if I watch the governor talk on TV and listen to him and stuff, he's a really nice guy, I think.
He answered. That's us.
That was old Monty Warner.
Oh, we've got a Monty in our system.
Him and his brother with their jammer. He's a really a nice person. But
I took my children to meet him, and he was an absolute gentleman. Very, very friendly, very pleasant and open and inviting to the kids. Told them, you know, once we get ensconced, you're going to have to come down and see me in the office. And it thrilled my kids to death.
He gave Brent Benjamin a big old hug.
Well, you know, that's fortunately for him, he's not too far from the governor's mansion and can go get a quick shower. I wouldn't get near that guy. I mean, I'd be afraid some of that kiddie rape scum would rub off on me that he's got all over him.
Oh, boy, I'm glad that ain't Warren McGraw standing there.
Yeah, because, you know, God knows we're better off with a Supreme Court that's got a guy that exploits raped children in it. Yay, oh, justice, yeah,
He handed his budget. He said it was leaned out $75 million. It would be interesting to see where the 75 got trimmed.
Well, I have a feeling we'll find that out in a couple of days.
Huh?
And, the sad thing is, I know Joe's Governor Manchin's slogan is open for business. The sad thing is, in this last election, Brent Benjamin made abundantly clear that so is our Supreme Court. Open for business, up for sale, available to the highest bidder. Sold to Don Blankenship for $5.5 million.
I wonder if he's done any work yet. Is he working? I mean, is he?
He's a Republican. He's not going to do any work unless he has to.
Is he trying cases, listening to testimony already?
Well, they're in session, I believe. I don't know.
He might not have even done anything. That might have been a new robe he was in, first time he tried it on.
No, they have to, big tub of guts like him, they have to tailor it to him.
Oh, be nice.
Well, no, I'm not going to be nice. He's a scumbag, Jeff.
We've just seen a nice state of the state address. It's time for optimism.
Right, in every facet of government except the Supreme Court.
Dwight Eisenhower said optimism is contagious and so is pessimism. Pessimism. I got to say the word right.
We've got a right to some pessimism in the court because we've got a guy who takes bribes sitting there.
Well,
because if you can't recognize what Brent Benjamin did as the accepting of bribery, I don't know what it is. We got Spikey sitting there who sits down to lunch, who has a lunch mandate once a month with Don Blankenship. It's disgusting.
Come on, Bob, be nice.
No, I'm not going to be nice. These guys are corrupt. These guys create the appearance of impropriety on the part of the highest court in West Virginia. These guys, every day they sit on the bench, they make it a little less likely that average West Virginians will believe in the integrity of the courts.
Can I talk about the education thing a minute?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
I was going to say, old Ken's a little bit harder to handle, too, ain't he?
No, not really. He's not hard to handle at all. I mean, he's just, you know, up to his neck in Kool-Aid, and there's no hope for him.
she was the one lady that had the four children, I think she was...
That was Sue.
Yeah. She said that she had her... Was that her that said that she had her children in private school?
I didn't catch that.
Or maybe it was the other lady.
I don't know. You mean one of those miracle math made easy things where it's like 1 + 1 = and then Jesus came down from the clouds and it's 3?
Well, I'm
1 + 1 = the Holy Trinity. I'm sorry.
Unless I'm thinking of something different. I thought one of the two ladies that called said they had a child or two in a private school and they was doing a whole lot better. And, you know, I think...
That one must have slid by me. I didn't hear that.
I've seen studies where... We spend about $9,000 per child in the United States in schools, and a private school tuition runs anywhere between $2,000 and $3,000 a year. And the private school kids score consistently higher on SAT tests. You know, they do better; they get more one-on-one.
Well, classes are smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you voucher those schools up, though, Jeff, those classes aren't going to be so small anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm saying is that when you cut an education program. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean that the quality of the education is going to go down. Because, look, we're spending 3-1 in the public school and we're not getting as good results.
Yeah, but bear in mind, when you're talking about, you know, what's the headline, Jeff? There's live down rising statistics. When you're talking about these private schools, you know, these miracle math made easy schools, they don't have bus drivers. No, they certainly don't have a small army of bus drivers. They don't have a fleet of buses. They don't have a fleet. Yeah, but they don't have a fleet of buses that have to be filled, fueled, maintained, started up, gotten warm in the dead of winter. They don't have any of that. They're not paying a pension worth a tinker's dam to their teachers. They have next to no administrative cost. A lot of them don't maintain sports teams. And as a consequence, they create this false idea of a lower per student cost and yet higher returns.
Would you like to send your kids to a smaller school, private like that?
My kids already go to a small school. I mean, the class size is tolerable where they go. They have extremely good teachers.
To where they go or to Woodrow Wilson?
No, you couldn't pay me to send my kids to Woodrow Wilson.
Imagine if you lived in Beckley and you could send them to a private school with 100
students in it. Well, now the problem is we got to fix Woodrow, and you don't fix Woodrow by burning it down.
The big school.
That's a joke. That's a figure of speech, everybody. I mean, I know with the bomb threats and stuff. That's a figure of speech.
Big schools can be pretty rough.
Well, yeah, they can. I mean, yeah, what?
A ninth grade boy or girl.
There were 1,000 kids in the high school I went to, and it was tolerable. It wasn't anything bad, and we had great classes. A lot of this has to do with rethinking structure, Jeff, and not throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Just when we see a cut, you know, maybe it is an ineffective program. And when the budget is such out of whack, it has to be cut. And no matter who gets cut, they're not going to like it.
Well,
I've never seen anybody.
It's all a question of whose ox is getting gored, certainly. But you know what? You mentioned Woodrow. You suppose maybe that drug, the drug-free schools program might be useful there?
Well, we've had it, and there's still drugs in Woodrow.
Right, so take it away and imagine what happens.
Well, imagine if we take the money and come up with something different that works better.
Yeah, give them free crack? I mean, just give up?
You come up with something different that works better.
Wait a minute, Jeff, that's another one of your federal programs. Let's deal with one federal program at a time, okay?
I mean, I assume you think the remarks of Ward Churchill are ridiculous, don't you?
I think they're entirely inappropriate. I happen to have a background of, you know, fairly literate understanding, and I know what he was referring to. He was talking about the banality of evil. I can't remember the author now. It was the early 60s. It was following the trial of Adolf Eichmann. And if you know, do you know who Eichmann was?
The guy who was the overseer of the extermination program.
Yeah, mild mannered, went home to his wife and kids every day.
That was his job, though. But to coordinate and do that quickly and efficiently as possible.
Yeah, and so the author entitled it The Banality of Evil.
Right.
And what she was trying to refer to is the fact that it is possible for great evil to be done by mild-mannered, meek, otherwise decent-seeming human beings.
So
Ward Churchill took that, extrapolated. Yeah, he wrote that essay a couple of days after 9/11.
That wasn't like cooling off for a couple, 3 years, neither, was it? That was the buildings were still smoking.
Oh yeah, I mean it was written in the heat of passion.
He was. They were smoking.
It was, you know, it was written at roughly the same time that George Bush was insisting to Richard Clark that Osama had nothing to do with it and this had to be Saddam.
Well,
I mean, they are responses that are equally irrational, equally non-rooted in any kind of factual basis, and equally wrong-headed.
So then you're saying that Ward Churchill's remarks are really totally ridiculous?
I think they're wrong.
They're wrong. Well, that's close enough.
When I saw the towers come down, you know what I saw? I saw working people dying.
Yeah.
I saw working people dying for the stupidity and negligence of a dirty little punk in Washington who's never held an honest job in his life.
I didn't see that. But do you think that, you know, something like, say, what Ward Churchill said, which is an opinion, you think that a professor should make $90,000 a year to work in a school, a state school, teaching his opinion? You know, let's teach from a book.
Well, he wasn't teaching that, Jeff.
Well, he was saying it.
He has a right to say it.
He was saying it in his class.
No, that was a written essay. Okay, it was not for class. It was not for classroom debate. Based on everything I've read, you're wrong on that.
No, he said that in his class to his class too.
Are you certain of that?
Yeah, he just said that in his class. You know, and he's not paid to teach opinion. He's paid to teach.
You are paid to teach critical thinking, and that was a function of his critical thought.
But that is
now you got to bear in mind, if you go to college and you get yourself a four-year degree, depending on where you go and what you study, you're going to have approximately 120 to 130 instructional hours. Now, if you think one 15-minute lecture is just going to create a bunch of raving revolutionaries, sorry, thanks for playing. You know, it doesn't work that way.
He told a bunch of lies on his thing to get in his application.
And now, where are you getting that? I heard Savage prattling out there. He's no Cherokee. He didn't claim to be a Cherokee. He claims to be part Creek.
He was saying he was in the American Indian. Not the American Indian Association.
No, the American Indian Movement, wasn't it?
Yeah,
AIM, yeah.
He got kicked out of that for lying.
So did he not get kicked out of it?
He did.
Okay, because I read an interview with him where he said, I certainly wasn't at Wounded Knee and didn't claim to have been.
But you have to be of blood descent, at least a quarter, to be in that group.
Okay.
And I think he lied to them to get into it, and then they figured it out, kicked him out. And then he put on his application that he was still in there, is how that went.
Okay, and that is somehow material to this issue?
He put that on his application to get that job.
Okay, and you think they hired him because of it?
Well, if you put false information...
No, that's not necessarily so, because there's a difference between false and subject to debate. I mean, this is about his lineage, okay?
He put that he was in that group, and he wasn't.
You just told me he was, and they threw him out, Jeff.
Yeah, but he said...
Now, see? See, you're doing it again.
Well, he led them to believe that he was in that group, and that he was blood Indian, when he really wasn't.
Yeah, what it boils down to is whether or not we have a First Amendment in this country. And if we have a First Amendment, then the man's comments are allowed.
Well,
and it's not a question of their validity. It is a question of whether or not he's an American and enjoys the rights we are all afforded under the First Amendment. And Adam's apple, Annie Coulter, says things about my side of the debate that are... I mean, my God, she calls us traitors.
Well, his comments are allowed. He's not under arrest. He's walking around.
No, they canceled one of his lectures because a bunch of right-wing intolerant deadheads, and I don't mean that in a good way, threatened to blow his freaking brains out. Jeff, I'm out of time, man.
Okay,
run over.
Thank you for the time.
See ya.
See you later.
Bye. Okay, let's take our bottom of the hour break. We got a little Workers Independent News Service. Before that, we've got a news update from Carl Mack. When we come back, more of your calls at 252-6200 outside Buckley, 800-620-9967. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. WWNR News. Fayette County school system was thrown into turmoil once again today as another threatened telephone call of violence led to the entire school system being shut down. Bill Laird is Fayette County Sheriff.
During the past 2 days, a total of 5 telephone calls have been received through the Fayette County 911 Center, threatening acts of violence directed toward public schools within Fayette County. The first 4 calls that were received were specifically directed toward Oak Hill High School, which resulted in the closure of that particular school on Monday and Tuesday. The last call received was directed more toward the countywide school system, which resulted in the decision by the superintendent to close all schools within Fayette County today.
The incident is being investigated by the Sheriff's Department, Oak Hill Police, State Police, members of the National Park Service, and the State Office of Emergency Services. The sheriff says the calls appear to be coming from a cell phone being used within the immediate service area. An arrest warrant had been issued Monday for 18-year-old Rebecca Ann Vest of Oak Hill, but Sheriff Laird said today that warrant has been withdrawn.
At this point in time, it's currently believed that these threatening calls appear to be originating from cellular telephone that is being used within the immediate service area. This is obviously requires us to access a lot of technical information from higher-level resources in order to try to identify the person or persons responsible for this.
Anyone who has information about these school threats should call the Fayette County EOC office. That number is 574-3590. A domestic dispute that got out of hand last night is thought to have caused the deaths of 3 people in Raleigh County. State police say 42-year-old Greg Lambert shot his ex-wife Frances and 14-year-old stepson at their Sullivan Road residence in Glen Morgan yesterday afternoon. Senior Trooper J.D. Hamilton is leading the investigation. Francis Lambert and the juvenile were dead at the scene. Beckley police still looking for a suspected shoplifter who fired shots at a Raleigh Mall employee last night. The incident occurred at around 7:30 in the rear parking lot of Goodies. A mall employee followed the suspect to his car to get a license plate number. When the employee went out the back door of the mall, the suspect allegedly fired a shot in his direction but missed. That's the news. Now the forecast, cloudy and much colder later tonight with the rain showers turning into snow showers. And then for tomorrow, cloudy and cold with snow showers. Tomorrow's high only near 25. Governor Manchin's State of the State address at 7 o'clock this evening, courtesy West Virginia Public Broadcasting. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Ladies, the clock has been reset and the slate is wiped clean. Is this the year you find true love? Because if you really want to find, then you've got to be willing to see. And the best place to start your search is Cupid.com. Even if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, Cupid's automatic helps you find guys with your favorite traits and qualities. Basic membership for free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from gold members. The service you usually pay for at other sites. The greatest thing about Cupid.com is their local focus. They bring you together with people who live close by. Cupid can actually be there for you. All you've got to do is go to Cupid.com and browse for pictures and personas with complete anonymity. Whether it's online or at one of their free local events, when Cupid.com helps you see, your love is what you find.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way Southern West Virginia. Thanks for the generous support you provided during the United Way Fall 2004 campaign. Did you know that 99 cents of every dollar donated stays right here in Raleigh, Fayette, Nicholas, and Summers County to help the 20 agencies the United Way supports, including the Red Cross, Girl Scouts, Commission on Aging, Women's Resource Center, Fishes and Loaves, and 15 other nonprofit agencies. Your tax-deductible gift helps the many who are unable to help themselves. Please continue to support the United Way of Southern West Virginia. It's a great investment in our community. If you would like additional information, please contact me at 253-2111. That's the United Way of Southern West Virginia, making a lasting impression on our community.
Hey, look. It's a text message.
What's it say?
Here for you.
Really? Dave, Cellular One wants you to get the message. We're here for you. That's right. Cellular One is here for you in Beckley, Pineville, Bluefield, Welsh, Lewisburg, White Sulphur Springs, Oakdale, and more places in West Virginia and the country than ever before. The company that Beckley Register Herald readers voted favorite place to buy cellular phones is here for you with loads of anytime minutes, including unlimited nights and weekends. Plus, Cellular One's here with flip phones, camera phones, even free phones. But most importantly, Cellular One is here with dependable local customer service. Really? So get a phone, get a plan, and get it now. From Cellular One, West Virginia's only locally owned and operated wireless provider. We're here for you. Bring your home or wireless number to Cellular One and get free activation and a free phone. Visit your neighborhood Cellular One store for more information.
WWNR Beckley.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
President George W. Bush has completely eliminated funding for Amtrak in his new budget proposal.
The Bush administration has long been out to dismantle Amtrak, but this is really a new law where they've actually come right out and zeroed out its budget.
Michael Buckley is Communications Director for the AFL-CIO Transportation Trades Department. He says the TTD believes privatizing the railway is a bad decision.
It's a very reckless and an irresponsible policy choice. It would put 22,000 workers out of jobs. It would strand millions of passengers throughout the country. It would send many more cars to already congested highways.
The department's president, Edward Witkin, spoke before Congress on Tuesday. He says it seems that Bush believes that if Amtrak is forced into bankruptcy, a new private sector will emerge from its ashes. Buckley says that the reaction from Congress has been encouraging.
They don't see Amtrak as sort of the inside-the-beltway political football. They see it as a nuts-and-bolts part of their community.
Unite Here Local 11 heads back into more talks with 8 luxury hotels in the Los Angeles area today as hotel workers struggle to win fair and just contracts. Local 11 President Maria Elena Grasso says that big issues include the cost of health insurance and workloads, and she says the hotels are aggressively anti-worker.
They're taking a very, very aggressive anti-worker campaign in all of the workplaces, and so it is a constant daily battle inside those hotels.
Unite Here is encouraging a boycott of Hyatt, Hilton, and Starwood hotels.
Don't go to the boycotted hotels and support the workers.
For information on the boycott on the web, go to hoteladvisor.org.
The workers are not holding back. They're engaged in this and making a lot of sacrifices to be able to win what is fair.
Bargainers from Unite Here are meeting with representatives from the 8 luxury hotels in Los Angeles today.
In the midst of a bitter labor dispute, the U.S. soccer team beat Trinidad and Tobago in its first World Cup qualifying round. A 3-week player lockout by the U.S. Soccer Federation ended on January 21st. The players have been without a contract for more than 2 years. The players came to a temporary no-strike agreement with the federation at the end of January. The agreement also gives the players a 38% increase in per-game bonuses.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. Unit labor cost for total compensation divided by real economic output is the best measure of a worker's share of production. The lower unit labor costs go, the less workers get. As of 2003, unit labor costs were in the most sustained decline in 50 years. Fewer workers turning out more work and falling real wages have combined to drive unit labor costs down. For workers, that means business is producing more with fewer workers working for less money. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Sunny, a little life for the conservative governments. Bob McKay. And
welcome back. Let's took a little bit of extra time. I'll try to make sure that doesn't happen in the next hour. Which I ran around in the bottom of the break. So what? You know, send me a bill. It's about 16 minutes before 9 o'clock on this truncated State of the State address Wednesday evening. I'm Bob Kincaid, and let's go right to the phones, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. We've got Brian. Hey, Brian, you head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing good, yeah.
Doing good. Just a little quick thing here. Just surfing by the boob tube there and saw just a few minutes of the O'Reilly show.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I know. It's just, you got to check out the other side every now and then.
Yeah, I know. I just can't see that guy without reading those court papers and what he thinks of falafel.
Yeah. Well, even worse, he had Dick Morris on there.
Oh, the toe sucker.
And they're speculating that the 08 campaign is going to be Hillary and Condoleezza Rice, and Morris said Rice would win.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What? Has O'Reilly been to the Southwest and picked up a stash of peyote?
I believe he has.
You know, these people that are so all over, they're going to be crushed if Hillary doesn't run. Hillary's not going to run. If Hillary runs, she won't make it through the primaries.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what they do if she doesn't run. They won't have anything to talk about.
And kind of sleazy, could never make it through a presidential campaign simply because she's an inept idiot.
Yeah, I said her community, they probably should be ashamed of her.
And most of them are.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to remember, her father was a peace activist, and she just spits on his memory.
Mm.
You know, it's just so wrong.
Well, I just wanted to give you a little tidbit there.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks, Brian. Take it easy.
Bye.
Oh, no. No Condoleezza, no President Hillary. You know, we're done, okay? I like the bill, but it's time for the Democratic Party to get back to the Democratic Party's roots. You know, working people. People that, that don't necessarily know which one's the shrimp fork. That don't know just exactly how to eat the Lux Vomit canapes that our betters do. Let's keep it rolling, though. We've got Jim. Hey, Jim, you're head on. Yo, Jim.
How you doing?
Doing good, yeah.
Oh, I'll be quick tonight. Hey, listen, don't count out Condoleezza in 2000 and whatever, because I'll tell you one thing, she couldn't be a bigger idiot than the one she worked for.
Well, that's true.
I mean, you know.
Hope springs eternal, Jim.
Nothing surprises me anymore, to tell you the truth. I just want to make a comment, number one.
Sure.
You got a lot of good callers calling the show, particularly like people like Paul.
Mm-hmm.
you know, this man's doing this this community a great service and sharing a lot of institutional information with people. And I think he can put it in a thing where people can understand what's going on.
He tries. There's so much of this stuff that is so, and it's a dictionary definition of Byzantine.
Well, you know, that can be simplified basically into people know when they're being taken advantage of or when they're being screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's what he's trying to do. And, you know, I think he's doing a great job. And I think you are too.
Well, thank you.
You know, you are a little bit of radio feedback, like Dr. Bill is. And I look at it this way. You know, defend by silence is basically, if we do that, we are nothing but cowards if we don't protest, you know?
Yeah, well, the only thing, time after time, we've repeated that mantra, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
Right. And, you know, if somebody wants to quote Dwight Eisenhower,
yeah,
people, I direct their attention to the speech he made back in January 20th, 1961, before giving the White House to President Kennedy.
Yeah, would that be the military-industrial complex speech?
You got it. And yeah. I'll tell you one thing. For that to come out of a mouth of a four-star general and a Republican, I mean, that man did create a situation there in his speech that was prophetic. Is just...
Yeah, prophetic is a low rent word for describing what he did. It was visionary. It was almost miraculous.
It really was. It really was. You know, I tell you, if people are gonna start, you know, delving back through history, my suggestion to them is, hey, you know, dig deep, drink deeply from the Hyperion Spring. Or keep your mouth shut.
Well, you're gonna have to deal another round on that, Jim, because frankly, there's not a lot of people, and I don't mean just here, I mean anywhere, who know what the Hyperion Spring is.
Basically, it's a fountain of knowledge.
Right.
If you're gonna drink from that, you better drink deeply and just not drink, you know, what little bit you want.
Yeah, don't get a swig and spit like a football player.
Precisely. I mean, you know, hey, there's more to it than just Googling around and pulling in a lot of this, that, and the other. You got to do some deep research to find out what's really going on.
Yeah.
If you really help people. And, you know, otherwise, I think you unnecessarily cloud issues. And the worst thing of all is if you believe this trouble, you fool yourself. And that self-deception is a major crime.
Well, it's one of the greatest sins, is it not?
In my book, yes, it is.
Or willful foolishness. That can be, certainly. Well, Jim, I appreciate it. Thanks very much, and have yourself a great evening.
Thank you, sir.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
And Wayne. Hey, Wayne, your head on. Yo, Wayne.
Hey, Bob.
What's up?
Just got the big screaming beep on that radio thing.
Well, that's because we're all fixed.
I don't know what you guys do. Yeah, well, I'm glad you're fixed, that's for sure. I'm glad you're fixed.
Could you hear both sides of the conversation on hold?
I did with Jim.
Yeah.
I heard Jim.
Okay.
Yeah, and well, and that's a further fix because I was listening to, well, I was on hold for Dr. Bill earlier, but I couldn't hear the other caller.
Somebody's
doing something right.
I'm sitting here in front of, or behind of, depending on how you look at it, about 6 million knobs, and I know what maybe 10 of them do.
Okay.
So they're not.
Don't touch any.
Believe me, I'm not. I mean, I've got my hands behind my back.
And whoever fixed what they fixed?
Yes.
Did they write it down? Notes. Notes are good things. This is what I did.
Well, what did you think of the state of the state? I noticed he mentioned the Act Foundation.
Yeah, he did. There was one very, very scary word that triggered a million alarms through my little body.
I'll keep my mouth shut. You tell me what it was.
Waiver.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Okay. That could mean a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, but...
And I don't want to expound on it, and I hope a whole bunch of people didn't hear it, and I hope he forgets it.
Right.
I mean, what the hell does that mean?
I know, well, yeah, what
I am expounding
no,
on.
No, 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 well, no, okay, let's move on then. What's it mean when he says that we want to make sure that defendants in lawsuits only pay their fair share?
What does that
mean? that one went through me like a dose of salt. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Right.
We'll have to wait and see. There's, I still have my judge, I'm not going to judge Joe.
Right.
I mean, I think, you know, there is a middle road. There's a middle road that probably we should all follow, you know. But a lot of times proponents of that middle road are just doing that to fool you.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, and people fear extremists on one side or the other.
Right.
And they should. You know, extremists, no matter which side they are usually radical people that call the other people radicals. You know, and there is a middle road, and I would love to see Joe Manchin find that, achieve it, and if he does, I will support him. You know.
Absolutely.
Well, I support him now.
Right.
You know, and that doesn't mean that I'm going to say, oh, Joe, you're so great. Everything you do is wonderful. We'll have our disagreements, but there will also be a lot of things that I could support him on.
Sure.
You know, so. But like I say, the waiver word, that's a scary word, waiver.
Yeah, it
to
is.
To me.
Yeah.
So what are you going to waiver? My rights?
Yeah, well, and then Jeff brought that up. You know, it's always somebody else's ox getting gored.
Well, exactly. And it all depends, and as you say, it all depends on whose ox is being gored.
Right.
You know, but now talking about that, an extremist, you know, there are callers who think that extremists are only on one side.
Yeah, mine.
Yeah, exactly. Or the other's side.
Yeah.
Of whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Right. And, you know, as far as extremist goes, I mean, I've heard people on this station, not your show, but expound, what's the proper word, theories, I guess, that the reason that 9/11 happened was that God directed these people to tear down the Twin Towers because he was mad at George Bush because George Bush wasn't supporting the Israelis enough.
Mm.
Okay.
That just makes the little hair stand up on the back of my neck.
Has the gall to call somebody else an extremist?
I don't buy
that.
That's kind of extreme. That's right up there with Falwell and Robertson and, you know, Norman Lear and people for the American Way caused 9/11 along with the lesbians and the homo man and the brother.
And on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
You know. So let's try to find the middle road and let's think about what we say before we say it.
True.
Because
unless it's
you, you know, whomever, and I'm not mentioning any names, you know.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But if I have just said something untrue that person did not say, I challenge him to correct it.
Fair enough.
Now, this is the place to do it.
Yeah.
This is Radio Free Beckley, right here in West Virginia. That's what we got this for. That's what the ACT Foundation supports this for, because the ACT Foundation does believe in the First Amendment and does believe that people have the right to speak their own mind.
Kind of neat, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's great.
You know,
that's why we support it.
You know, I'm just thinking about, and you know, you're so right. Any given conversation that takes place on this show, you know, my God, what, two words of it would make it onto, say, Flush Flimball or the Savage Wiener or the Handy Creep or
of the words. They got a screener.
Yeah.
You know, your screener says name and topic. That's it, you know, and you're on. You know, their screener says, you want to say what?
Yeah.
You'll never make it. You're all done. But let's get on to something else.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Medicare thing?
Remember
the Medicare prescription, the great big...
Yeah.
Boondoggle? Yeah.
The ripoff?
Yeah. He said, they threatened it. They told Congress... This will only cost $395, maybe $400 billion, when all the time they knew it cost $524.
Yeah, now what, it's up to $9?
Yeah, yeah. That's okay.
And we lost $8.8 billion in the sofa in Baghdad somewhere.
Yeah, Yeah, we can't find that. You know, that's, who's that, Paul Bremer?
Among other people.
A freedom of metal.
Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yeah.
Give him a Laurel and Hardy handshake.
Who else can lose $9 billion in 2 years? I mean, you know, let's get this guy a medal. And don't hold anyone accountable. And these same people who accuse people of being radicals, they just buzz over this.
Yeah, give those dudes a pass.
Yeah, you can't talk to them about that. You know, you can't. And I've challenged people before. You know, this Medicare agreement, Medicaid agreement with the drug prescription drug thing, I mean, it has in the law that, okay, this agency is going to spend, I don't know what the number is, $15, $20 billion a year on prescription drugs, but the law, but you're not allowed to negotiate a lower price with the drug company.
Oh, it's a tsunami of taxpayer dollars,
right.
You know, just washing gloriously over the poor, money-starved little pharmaceutical companies with their little noses pressed up against the window panes, peering in at the warm from out in the cold. Oh yeah,
right. And these people have been challenged on, have any of them answered this?
No.
No, they have not. Even people that call this little bitty radio station in Beckley, West Virginia, you know, have not challenged, have not, while they choose to pretend like that doesn't exist, you know. Then we come to the Social Security thing. President Bush is going to save Social Security.
Yeah.
And these people want us to believe it.
By plunging a dagger into it 97 times.
Exactly. And we're supposed, whoa, you people are all, you're radical. Give me a break.
I know. Hey, you know, Wayne, we got a split, man.
All right, pal.
Top of the hour.
Hey, listen, I'm glad you're streaming again.
Oh, me too. You have no idea.
All right, man.
Thanks, pal.
I'll be talking to you.
See ya.
Bye.
All right. If you're on hold, please stay that way. We'll go right back to the phones out of the top of the hour. We got to do the news. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. Remember, the password is Krasniewski. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world. It's 9 o'clock.
It's your second hour of the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. I don't know what a tough time it is because the lovely and talented Taylor Swift won't give me back my clock. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. I'm too lazy to look across the room. Okay, you heard the password. You heard the secret word. Of course, the phone number. I should tell you that. 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. You can send email either here in the studio to wwnr@netphase.net, or if it's something you want me to read at my leisure, send it to bob@headonradio.com. There's a link to my site, headonradio.com, right there at the station site. Now, earlier today, it was entirely by accident that I saw this. Bush engaged in a sit-down sort of howdy-do press conference there at the White House with the President of Poland. The President of Poland being Aleksander Kwasniewski. You see how easy that was? Let's do it again. Aleksander Kwasniewski. Aleksander Kwasniewski. Aleksander Kwasniewski. How about you're doing it at home? Aleksander Kwasniewski. Aleksander Kwasniewski. Quick, go get your 5-year-old. She can say it too. Try it with a 3-year-old. Aleksander Kwasniewski. Looky, your 3-year-old just did something George W. Tongue-Tied can't do. Why do I say that? I say that because George W. Bush can't say Aleksander Kwasniewski. Holy Moses. On no less than 3 separate occasions that I saw before I started running around the room tearing at my clothing and ripping at my hair and screaming, George W. Dumber the Bag of Rags referred to the duly democratically elected President of Poland as Aleksander, you know, the President of Poland. Lord, I lift mine eyes unto thee. Why do you hate us so much, God? Why do you hate America so much you saddled us with a certifiable idiot for a president? Well, as I was discussing with Aleksander, the president, the Poland... Oh, that hurt. Aleksander, the president... Poland, he said to me, you know, it happened. I'm going to tear my eyeballs out, stick my head in a bucket of lime, and I'm screaming off a cliff. Gee whiz, George, it's a state occasion. You owe us a little something for that big old salary we pay you. A state occasion, for God's sake, you ignorant, evil, stupid, pig-eyed, lazy lout. You have to learn people's names. It's considered polite, even if their last name is Kwasniewski. See, sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I think that it's not that he's actually some sort of addle-pated, jug-eared booby. It's that he doesn't care. You know, you guys give me hell for not showing him respect when that thumb-twiddling miscreant can't even dignify our nation enough not to make us look like provincial hayseeds who can't pronounce somebody's name right. It's Kwasniewski, you dipstick George. Kwasniewski. Couldn't somebody in Bush's cabinet of horrors teach him to say that one little bitty word? Of course not. They can't teach you to say nuclear. But for Pete's sake, couldn't Karen Hughes come in and let him drool at her while she teaches him to say Kwasniewski? I mean, look it. Everybody in the sound of my voice right now can say Kwasniewski. Wozniewski. It's not that difficult. It's a matter of respect. Wozniewski, it's going to run around in your head like that line from All in the Family where Edith Bunker is walking around the entire episode saying, Proxmire, Proxmire. Oh, but not the President of the United States of America. No. No, he's a freaking moron. The reference to Forrest Gump or Rain Man right here, that would be easy. But see, Forrest Gump and Rain Man had limitations that hid real genius. This guy is an idiot all the way down to the subcellular level. He's an idiot in places it takes a cotton pick and electron microscope to see. This guy's a fool that takes math Stephen Hawking hasn't even invented yet to calculate. String theory can't define Bush's stupidity. Look, I give up. You Taliban American fundamentalist wingnuts win. It's over. You've made your case. Evolution is a myth. A great big lie. It has to be. Evolution couldn't possibly be true and still have an idiot like George W. Bush exist in the natural world. Forget it. Bring the mythology textbooks into science class. I don't care. Teach 6 days of creation 6,000 years ago when dinosaurs refused to get on the ark. Teach elephants standing on turtles. I don't care anymore. Because, see, George W. Bush puts the lie to any science that says humankind is any sort of a higher life form. Parrots, for heaven's sake, can say Wozniewski.
What? Wozniewski?
Coco the gorilla can spell it perfectly every time with her little machine. And a man that some 50-plus million Americans actually voted for can't even say it once. God, you can see it. I was talking to... Alexander here, the president of Poland. Oh, by the way, UFOs? I'm a believer now. You know what UFOs are, I'll tell you. Somewhere, in some other universe, there's a party going on. It's a big party. And every so often, a few of the aliens get themselves all liquored up, and they commit TWUI, time warping under the influence. And they zoom down here to Earth, and they goof on us. Oh, they're higher intelligence, all right. Dude, look at their chief. Dude, where's our spaceship? Dude, that guy's an idiot. Shakespeare, what'd he say? Oh, what a piece of work man is. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It's astounding, timeless beating, madness takes its toll, but listen closely.
Enough of that in my shoulder.
I've got to keep control. I'm going to go to the hospital.
An injury or illness could not only affect your health, it could put your finances in jeopardy. Anything from buying everyday items like groceries to saving for retirement could become a burden. That's why it's important to talk to your State Farm agent, Joel Straub in Bethlehem, not Bowling in Oak Hill, or Maria Burley in Richwood, about making health insurance an essential part of your financial plan. They can help you protect your financial health with competitively priced health insurance products from Assured Health. For more information on health insurance from Assured Health, talk to Joel Straub in Bethlehem, or Don Bowling in Oak Hill, or Maria Burley in Richwood. Coverage is issued and underwritten by Fortis Insurance Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. No member of the State Farm family of companies is financially responsible for the product. Fortis Insurance Company is not an affiliate of State Farm.
Power Country 105.9 and Wellington Hospital presents the 8th annual Southern West Virginia Women's Expo at the Wellington Armory, February 19th and 20th. City child care provided by Affects the Grove. Free parking, courtesy of Smith Company Motor Cars. Southern West Virginia Women's Expo features exhibits on health and fitness, beauty, financial planning, home decor, nutrition, and so much more. Register for test your weight each day and attend informative seminars and demonstrations. The Southern West Virginia Women's Expo, presented by Raleigh General Hospital and Power Country 105.9. Saturday, February 19th from noon to 6 p.m. and Sunday, February 20th from 9 to 5 p.m. All new tickets now at the Old General Store, Linda's Boutique, and Lighthouse Realty.
U.S. Toyota Beckley and L&S Toyota's giving it to you. L&S Toyota is rolling over triple rebates. It's L&S Toyota triple your rebate sale. Only L&S Toyota dares to match factory rebate with dealer incentives to give you triple rebates up to $3,750. Triple your rebates on new Toyota Corollas, Camrys, Tacomas, Hummers, and more. Triple rebates on every new Toyota up to $3,750. That's right. Triple your rebates on all 2005 models. Plus, over 30 Toyota certified used vehicles are available with 3.5% APR financing. And in a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty with roadside assistance and a 160-point valve insurance inspection. Triple your rebate sale. Triple your savings. Now through Monday at L&S Toyota. 300 Laurel Acres Drive in Beckley. On select models of the group, rather than the third plan, that's easy to pay for rebate. And instead of 3750 rebate, the flight number is 2285.
Here's Bob K.K.
Welcome back. I'm all better now. I promise I was not going to raise my voice, and now I feel like the wombat's back in my throat. Goodness me. 19 minutes after 9 o'clock. I'm Bob Kincaid, and let's go to the phones. The number, of course, 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're head on. Thanks for holding.
They've come out with a new terror warning for the color system.
Oh, no.
I don't know if you heard about this. It's going to be all gray.
We're just terrified now. We're just scared.
The general consensus is we're all going to die. It's just
yeah, they're light gray, dark gray, charcoal gray.
Excuse me, Matt. Which side of the aisle are you on? Oh, Democrat. I'm terribly sorry.
I know. Oh, mercy.
Oh, it reminds me of the Robin Williams thing talking about when don't open your mail. There may be white powder in the envelope. Robin Williams said, really? White powder, you say? Well, I tell you, we're
a cynical bunch, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And we've got a right to be cynical because every person that draws a salary in the White House is in another country right now going, no, really need to bomb Iran, don't you think so? Really? Don't you think so?
No, you know, we've got a whole White House Beach Boys over there, you know, with complete four-part harmony. Bomb, 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 Iran. Yeah. You want to rock your Ayatollah, the sack your Ayatollah, the banner? Uh-oh.
From filth, China. And what's your name for Condoleezza now?
Condoleezza?
Condoleezza, yeah.
Condoleezza, Condoleezza, no one likes you.
Bucktooth and homely, will you ever?
Yeah.
You can say that.
Get a guy to, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
Well, Ken Dobson over there with Iran to negotiate.
Hey, as long as... No, we can't...
See what you're doing wrong.
Yeah, no, see, that wouldn't work. As long as the Mullahs aren't gay, Dobson's okay.
You bet they don't believe in God.
They don't believe in the same God we do.
Yeah.
You know, one of these days I'm going to get a brick. And just have it here for occasionally bashing my head against it.
Why don't we get a real big cannon and, you know, the first shot of the war, we just load Charlton Heston in there and fire him out. Here comes Charlton! Splat.
Soylent Green as people! Get your hands off me, you dirty ape!
From this cold... What is it? From this cold, dead barrel.
Yeah. You better watch yourself, mister, or some hotshot Jap pilot's gonna flame you. I know, yeah, I got them all.
Midway. So they're trying to, they're looking for a nail salesman in Colorado to put War Churchill up on the tree.
Yeah. What a stupid thing for him to say.
Why did he have to say Eichmann's?
Yeah. And I so completely differ with him. Because those were, you know, those were $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year guys who, you know, were putting the kids through dance class, paying on the mortgage, paying on the car note, you know, living in Jersey. And that's no slam on Jersey. I got a bunch of old fraternity brothers from up there, and that's how they talk. But these were workers, you know. That's all I saw was workers dying.
It reminded when I first heard it, some of what he said. I thought, well, yeah. I heard him say, "Ike." No one.
Thanks for playing.
That reminded me of the guy that wanted the atheist that didn't want it to prayer at the inauguration.
Oh, yeah, Michael Rudolph. Thanks. Yeah,
just shut up.
Mike, you're not helping again.
Shut up.
Well, and then
you're helping.
And, you know, so some of these people are of the same stripe, and if you push them just a little bit further in the direction they're already going, they're going to come full circle and wind up on the other side. You know, honest to God, Chris, how much difference is there between Lord Churchill saying, you know, these were all little Eichmanns, and, you know, the Reverend Fred Phelps, ordained Southern Baptist minister, saying, "We can only pray that God will send another 9/11 to us." You know, and while we're at it, while we're having our little Lord Churchill hissy, where's...
I emailed you not long back, and I said, "What is your take on the Lord Churchill thing?" And he didn't answer me back. I thought, oh, boy, I just in there.
Yeah, because... You know, where's the right wing? You know, they jumped right out there on Lord Churchill, but they are as silent as the grave on ordained Southern Baptist minister Fred Phelps saying that America needs another 9/11 to kill off the fags.
Well, he's a conservative, and he's just misguided. That's why Rush Limbaugh isn't a dope fan. He just has a problem.
Oh, yeah. There's another one for the stack. Some guy in Warsaw, Indiana, today, was sentenced to 20 years out of a court in Kosciuszko County for selling two OxyContins. 20 years.
Well, that's like, how many people do we have in prison right now that sold one joint or one tab of LSD?
Yeah. Here it is. Here's the quote.
After the trial, a member of the drug task force took offense to the comments made regarding two little pills. Those two little pills were really prescription pills, he said. When people misuse them and take them without a prescription, they are not a safe drug. As for it not being a violent crime, drug dealing is a violent crime.
Brain dead!
Well, you know, if he had been a member of that police department, he would have been on suspension with pay pending further review.
Yeah.
You know, go up to 10 people on the street tomorrow, and I was just reading this the other day, it reminded me of it, and poll them, like, was Albert Einstein a Democrat? And I guarantee you, 9 out of 10 will say yes.
I know.
Was a socialist.
Just like Helen Keller, I know.
But perception, or what we think is perception for some people. Well, Bush has got to be doing a good job. He got reelected. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you're right. Perception management, sure.
You had your caller mentioned that he slipped by the O'Reilly Show. I was flipping channels looking for my family something to watch. We're finally settled on Andy Griffith, the wholesome show.
Sure.
And I flipped by Hannity and Combs.
There's one that gives me the fan todds.
Your skin's going to crawl. Guess who was on there?
Well, I don't want to. Yeah, tell me.
The devil.
The devil?
Yeah.
Ours or theirs?
Theirs. Carl Rove. Remember I sent you that?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to, you know, good than Lord Churchill, you know, he's apparently ours.
Well, I said theirs.
Yeah, right. I mean, was he...
Ours is
the... Was he drumming his long fingernailed fingers together and saying,
"Wah"? Oh, he was talking about the election.
Well, yeah, he sounds like Peter Murray. You hit me weak.
Doesn't George... I don't mean George. Oh, God, forget it. Doesn't Dick Cheney look like some kind of demented Bob Hope when he talks to the side? Doesn't he, though?
Oh yeah, and if you no, there's a website I ran across. If you go over to W, that's Dubya, W capital B, WD40.com. I don't know if it's still there, but there was this picture, and it was an add the caption contest, and it was just hilarious, and it was Cheney just holding his hands out. And the captions that people were sending in there were absolutely precious.
Okay, what is this thing about this guy that was working in the White House that had these, that appeared in these porn sites or whatever?
Oh, that's, no, don't ruin it for me. That's a Republican Family Values update. I don't know about this.
Oh, okay. I'll have to send you
a new one. You found it and you send me the link.
That's a good friend.
I can probably make a whole show out of that. Hey, Chris, we got to roll.
Hey, have fun reading Genesis.
Oh, I've been having a blast reading Genesis. Thanks so much. Later.
Bye-bye.
That's our friend Chris Mansell from the Mansell Report. If you want to see his thoughts and his ponderings, some of which can get kind of dark in a fun sort of way, themansellreport@AOL.com or mansellreport@AOL.com. One or the other. I always forget what it's not. No, there's no the. MansellReport@AOL.com. Or I could be wrong, but there's only one L in Mansell. I'm not helping again, aren't I, Chris? Sorry, man. Okay, time for our bottom of the hour break. We got a news update from Carl Mack, followed by Jim Hightower's commentary. That's always a blast. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. Let's just head on. I'm Bob Kincaid.
WWNR News, Fayette County's school system was thrown into turmoil once again today as another telephone threat of violence led to the entire school system being shut down. Sheriff Bill Laird of Fayette County.
During the past 2 days, a total of 5 telephone calls have been received through the Fayette County 911 Center, threatening acts of violence directed toward public schools within Fayette County. The first 4 calls that were received were specifically directed toward Oak Hill High School, which resulted in the closure of that particular school on Monday and Tuesday. The last call received was directed more toward the countywide school system, which resulted in the decision by the superintendent to close all schools within Fayette County today.
The incident is being investigated by the Sheriff's Office, Oak Hill Police, State Police, members of the National Park Service, and the State Office of Emergency Services. Sheriff Laird says the calls appear to be coming from a cell phone being used within the immediate service area. An arrest warrant had been issued Monday for 18-year-old Rebecca Ann Best of Oak Hill, but Sheriff Laird says that warrant has now been withdrawn. Beckley police are looking for a suspected shoplifter who fired shots at a Raleigh Mall employee last night. The incident occurred at around 7:30 in the rear parking lot of Goodies. A mall employee followed the suspect to his car to get a license plate number. When the employee went out the back door of the mall, the suspect allegedly fired a shot in his direction but missed. The shoplifter then fled in a light green mid-90s model Chevrolet driven by a female accomplice. A domestic dispute that got out of control Tuesday night is thought to have been caused the deaths of 3 people in Raleigh County. State police say 42-year-old Greg Lambert shot his ex-wife Frances and his 14-year-old stepson at their Sullivan Road residence in Glen Morgan yesterday afternoon. Senior Trooper J.D. Hamilton leads the investigation. Frances Lambert and the juvenile were dead at the scene, and Greg Lambert died a short time later in a local hospital. That's the news. Now here's the forecast. Rain this evening, but it gets much colder later tonight, and those rain showers turn into snow showers with lows tonight near 26. And then for Thursday, cloudy, snow showers likely, 1 to 3 inches possible. Tomorrow's high only in the upper 20s. Tomorrow night, cloudy and cold, snow showers, low 17. Partly cloudy on Friday, a little bit warmer, high 32. For Newstalk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
I have this to say to Barbara Boxer. Thank you. The California senator is on the Foreign Relations Committee that recently considered the confirmation of Condoleezza Rice to be George W.'s Secretary of State. During the confirmation hearing, Senator Boxer had the audacity to do what none of the other senators dared do. She did her job. Presidents can nominate whoever they want to cabinet positions, but it's the solemn constitutional responsibility of senators to evaluate the worthiness of any president's choice. The committee's consideration of Condi Rice, however, was more of a group hug than responsible senatorial scrutiny, until it came Boxer's turn to question. She went right after Rice for the apocalyptic lies she had told the American people about Saddam Hussein's supposed possession of weapons of mass destruction. Those WMDs were the sole rationale for Congress okaying Georgia's Iraq invasion, and Rice, then Bush's national security advisor, was the chief pusher of the WMD claim. You might remember her warning in 2002 that a failure to invade would result in, quote, a mushroom cloud over America. But, oh, the outcry over Boxer's temerity in challenging Rice. How dare a senator get in the face of Bush's choice? Indeed, Condi herself fell into a snit, snapping at Boxer, "I really hope that you will refrain from impugning my integrity. Thank you very much." Well, excuse me, Your Highness, but your integrity is precisely the issue. Why should someone who has so enthusiastically lied about a disastrous adventure that has caused thousands of deaths and maimings in Iraq be promoted, especially to a post where her word is essential to U.S. credibility in the world? This is Jim Hightower saying, thank you, Senator Boxer, not only for doing your job, but also for causing some of the other Democrats to grow a backbone.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. They are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I'll tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open.
contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a future. Give them a something. Tell them a magnet.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled in a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
We're back. I joined Jim Hightower. Yeah, thanks, Barbara Boxer.
God, it's inspiring to see a Democrat with a spine.
Just kind of makes you want to root for them. About 24 minutes before 10 o'clock here in beautiful, rainy uptown Beckley. So far, it's just rain. What, it's supposed to turn into snow? If so, be careful. And our Fayette County schools closed down thanks to the bomb threat idiot again tomorrow. Ooh. Somebody find these people. And yes, I know, they're juveniles, they're young people, they do dumb things. That's why we're not, you know, that's why you don't put them in like, you know, the federal pen or Guantanamo for the rest of their natural born lives. But straighten them out, please. Catch them. My kids need to go to school. Yeah, crazy stuff. Plenty of it. And I'm just going to, you know, whatever floats your boat. 252-6200 is the number. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. It's kind of tough to, I don't know what the magic is about 3 hours, but it's tough to get into a rhythm with 2 hours for some reason or another. So I'm going to hear a few fun things. You know, we've talked about, the Senate truly has been demeaned. The great institution of the United States Senate, with the addition of all these, you know, filthy Republicans, you know, and not just filthy Republicans, filthy crazy Republicans. This guy is going to be worth keeping an eye on. Senator Tom Coburn from Oklahoma, Bart Kopp's home state. Poor guy. He's a brand spanking shiny new member of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And of course, you remember how he got to the Senate. By telling Oklahomans that the high schools in Oklahoma, teachers couldn't let girls go to the bathroom more than one at a time because there was rampant lesbianism. It was rampant, the lesbianism was. And of course, there was nothing to it. Now, in the meantime, this guy, somewhere along the way, you know, some draw spunky school of medicine told this guy that he could be a doctor. And, of course, he's a real genius, and he's leading a fight in Congress to allow him to continue practicing medicine for profit while he's a member of the United States Senate. Greed. And there is legislation under consideration, and it's bad legislation, very bad legislation, under consideration in both the House and the Senate, about class action lawsuits. And debate has been begun. Ooh. Yeah, I think the cold medicine's kicking in. Debate has begun in the Senate about this class action litigation legislation. And it's very disturbing. It's wrong. Because basically, you see, what George W. Kwasniewski, what George W. hates the middle class wants to do is make sure that if you and a lot of other people, for instance, get poisoned by one of his big donors, that you can't file what's called a class action lawsuit in state court, where states have different laws pertaining to the way the suit would be handled. He wants it all to go to federal court. And there he wants his weirdo right-wing Taliban fundamentalist appointees to dismiss those suits against his... That's right. Donors. You remember the haves and the have-nots? Yeah, those people. And it really does look pretty spooky, and just so you can know what kind of people would be protected
by Georgia's little tort reform. Consider the little community of Libby, Montana. It's a tiny community. Not many people there at all. And yet, beginning in 1923, they opened a vermiculite mine there. And it is absolutely toxic with asbestos. And the asbestos that is mined there is mined by a company, W.R. Grace and Company. You might remember them from the movie and book by the same name, A Civil Action, where they poisoned and caused cancer deaths in a huge cluster in a town in Massachusetts. W.R. Grace and Company, and then slimed and sleazed and dirtied their way out of that litigation. And so they ran this vermiculite mine in Libby, Montana. And a federal grand jury charged W.R. Grace and Company on Monday. And seven of the current and former company officials of conspiracy to hide from employees, their families, and the public that the asbestos they mined was deadly and toxic. 200 miners have died as a result of vermiculite mining, as well as members of their families, you know, their kids. 1,200 people associated with the mine or Libby, Montana, have been diagnosed as suffering some kind of asbestos-related abnormality. Now, you were listening during the State of the Union, weren't you? You heard George W. Haight tell America that he wants an end to these frivolous asbestos lawsuits, didn't you? Here's one of the frivolous asbestos lawsuits that he's talking about. The right of these people in Libby, Montana, to come together and file one lawsuit instead of dozens against this nasty, murderous, greed-saturated, hell-bound company, W.R. Grace and Company. George wants to make sure that they can't be sued. There's less than 3,000 people in Libby, Montana. More than 200 deaths of miners and members of their families. 1,200 people associated with the mine or just living in Libby diagnosed as suffering some kind of asbestos-related abnormality. And before you say, well, I support my president, he is a man of great integrity, go meet someone who suffers from asbestosis as I have. Not suffered, but as I have met. See what it does to the entire human body. Then come back and tell me, George W. Bush is a man of great integrity, and I have respect for him. Because he says those people don't deserve to be compensated for having their lives stolen from them by his friends at W.R. Grace and Company. So that's what he wants to do. He wants to, and you know, it's there. You can go. This was a Washington Post story from Tuesday at page A04. Consumer groups, plaintiffs, lawyers, and many state attorneys general said they would prefer to defeat the Class Action Fairness Act. Oh, God! It's another one of those Bush administration names. The Clear Skies Initiative. We can't see the sun anymore, George. That's because they're clear. The Healthy Forest Initiative. Where are the trees, George? Well, they're real healthy because they're gone. Now we can't have no forest fires. The clarification of the stream rule that prevents people like Massey from just burying our waterways. The waterways that, incidentally, Governor Manchin mentioned this evening were so very vital to West Virginia's future. Not going to be very vital if Massey gets to bury him. Yeah, the Class Action Fairness Act. And it sends many class action cases out of state courts into the federal system, like I told you.
where they go and they die. Or they take so long to process that the people suffering from the depredations of people like W.R. Grace and company die before the suit can be heard. But bear in mind, the bill has rock-ribbed solid support of the Republican leadership in both houses of the Congress. And here's the best part, direct quote from the story, combined with backing from several influential Democrats in the Senate. Who are they? Who are they? Who in the Senate of the United States of America, calling himself or herself a Democrat, believes that tortured people have no right to challenge their torturer? Well, probably the same guys that voted for Alberto Gonzalez, now that we're talking about torture. Oh, look who supports it. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce. The same people that say that, you know, if an insurance company screws you here in West Virginia, you need to lump it. You need to shut up and take it for the good of the insurance companies of West Virginia. Now, Jeff Bingaman, a Democrat from New Mexico, a senator, is going to try to monkey with this thing by submitting an amendment that would require federal judges to hear the case by selecting one state's law and applying it to the case. And he's working with another good senator, Dianne Feinstein of California. But the House GOP leadership says that in the interest of speedy passage, it would accept the Senate version of the bill with, as long as it passes with no amendments. That means no Jeff Bingaman. You understand what's going on here? And don't say that it's never going to happen to you. Never say never, sunshine. This is dangerous business. And if you support this kind of filthy legislation, just remember, someday you may be called to account, because someday it may be your neighbor's body that is caving in on itself from the cancer and the hell and damnation that asbestos brings on the inside of a person. And they may call you to account and say, why did you support the people that did this to me? And just like I tried to get answers last night, you'll get no answer, just a blank stare, and you'll get told, George W. Bush is a man of integritude. So that, you know, just so you'll know what a class action is, that's a class action when you have to sue W.R. Grace because they've poisoned your whole damn town. That's a class action. Now, we started out by talking about Senator Crazier Than a Sprayed Roach, Tom Coburn, Republican of Oklahoma. He was holding forth last week on the bill that will restrict class action suits, the bill that will restrict an ordinary human being's right to challenge corporate authority to destroy a life.
I'm for life. I'm George W. Bush.
Bite me, George. And Senator Coburn has apparently not learned the fundamental rule that it is better to be silent and thought a fool than to open your mouth and prove it. Because with the shiny patina of his admission to the Senate Judiciary Committee fresh upon him, the Judiciary Committee, he said, you know, I immediately thought about silicone breast implants and the legal wrangling and the class action suits off that. What the hell does that mean? Off that. This guy, they're talking about class action suits, and the first thing this guy can think about is breasts. And remember, this is the guy who said that the Oklahoma's high schools are full of lesbians. I was just trying to find some because I'd kind of like to watch. Because I'm a Republican and I got good family values, unless there's lesbians involved. I immediately thought about silicone breast implants and the legal wrangling and the class action suits off that. And I thought, this man is speaking in the single most august, exclusive body in the entire world. I thought about silicone breast implants and the legal wrangling and the class action suits off that. And I thought I would just share with you what science says today about silicone breast implants. Now he's speaking for science. Bear in mind, this is a guy who probably believes that dinosaurs rode in New York. Share with you what science says today about silicone breast implants. If you have them, you're healthier than if you don't. I should have warned you to sit down. Pull over to the side of the road. This is Senator Tom Coburn, Republican, Oklahoma. Learned man. If you have silicone breast implants, you're healthier than if you don't. Ooh! That's what the ultimate science shows. In fact, there's no science that shows that silicone breast implants are detrimental. And in fact, they make you healthier. Now, that wasn't some Democrat that said that. That was another one of these blooming genius Republicans. Let me read that with a straight voice, just in case you thought somehow or another my redneck southern senator voice didn't translate so well. If you have them, you're healthier than if you don't. That is what the ultimate science shows. In fact, there's no science that shows that silicone breast implants are detrimental. And in fact, they make you healthier.
What, are they loaded with vitamin C?
New vitamin C breast implants. Or maybe you can get them with an additional boost of B12. For vitamin E, potassium. Wait, what? Loaded with glucosamine and chondroitin. In fact, they make you healthier. Ladies, you understand what this means for you, don't you? Have you ever seen one of those ancient female fertility goddess idols that they're constantly digging up in southern Europe and the Middle East and such, and the fertility goddess is like head, nose, eyes, ears, chin, and breasts all the way to the ground? That's what Tom Coburn thinks. In fact, they make you healthier. If you have them, you're healthier than if you don't. I can't pay a comedy service for this kind of stuff. And this guy is polluting the Senate of the United States of America with this kind of deadheaded thinking. And I don't even want to think about the guys. I mean, he didn't say just women. He said, if you have them, you're healthier than if you don't. That's what the ultimate science shows. In fact, there's no science that shows that silicone breast implants are detrimental. In fact, they make you healthier. Wayne, your head on.
Bob.
Help me.
Well, I'm going to. This would mean that the senator's going to be first in line for the all-new, soon-to-be-introduced silicone testicles. Am I right?
Yeah,
you'll probably be healthier with them.
I was going the other direction. I was wondering if he was going to get the man plants or something.
You can have them, too, but I'm telling you, it's a new thing. I think Squibb or somebody's going to introduce them. One of them great pharmaceutical companies.
And they'll probably be covered under Medicare's prescription drug plan.
Oh, certainly. You know, as long as it's a male thing, you know.
I mean, is it just me, or is this just insanity?
It is insanity.
You know, who let this guy out of the...
Well, we're both insane. I don't know, one or the other.
Is there a zoo in Oklahoma and somebody let this guy out of the monkey house?
There most certainly must be.
I mean, this is going to come as a complete shock to my lovely wife.
Oh, God. Where do we...
Where do we sign up?
I don't know. Where do these guys... God, where
can we get them on their? Can we get them on their fronts and their backs?
Unbelievable. I mean, you know, I'm sitting there going, that guy didn't say that.
Yes, he did.
Well, now I sound like Rumsfeld. When they ask him about Gonzalez.
Yeah.
And you know, and
I didn't say that.
No, he didn't say that.
I didn't say that.
Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, you can look it up, you know. I've got the story right here in front of me.
I don't doubt you.
Yeah, just Google up Coburn breast implants, ultimate science, you know.
Jeez. How's that?
Yeah.
I would hope that we would get some callers from the other side. And I don't mean Republicans or Democrats, but...
Women.
Women, yes. You know.
The ultimate other side.
Yeah, the ultimate other side. The, you know, well, they think, and I tend to agree with them, the superior side.
Yeah, but still, I can see me going home going, honey, if I've got a surprise for you.
Right.
The more the merrier.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Is all that covered under Medicaid and Medicare? That's probably why it costs $900 billion.
Well, you know, if you're going to cover a woman in silicone breasts.
Right. You got to cover the other people.
Who? Honest to God, Wayne, what kind of, you know, Bart Kopp uses the phrase knuckle drag when he talks about Oklahoma. What kind of mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging idiots put clowns like this in office?
I don't know.
I mean, it used to be in West Virginia, we had this ugly habit of passing out pints of Four Roses.
Right.
Yeah, to get somebody to vote for one slate or another. But holy Moses, to get somebody to vote for a clown like this, what do you got to pass out?
A Kool-Aid bottle.
Kool-Aid, my left hind foot. You got to pass out peyote and mescaline and LSD and ecstasy.
That's
and
special Kool-Aid.
Wow.
Oh, God.
We are not responsible.
No, we can't be.
The secretary disavowed all knowledge of this. Yeah. And there's Democrats in Oklahoma going, really, I didn't do this.
My question is, does Lieberman agree with this guy?
Oh, I don't know.
Well,
he could, you know, it'd probably be good for his health, and he could get some, and George would probably want to kiss him some more. Oh!
Yeah. Well, exactly. He needs some. He needs a replacement of something. I don't know exactly what, but... is he up for election in 2006?
Yes, he is. Know anybody in Connecticut?
I don't know. Yeah, well, I lived there a million years ago. I don't know if I know anybody there anymore, but, you know, I think we need to find a Democrat to run against
him. Yeah, run an old yeller dog.
Somebody.
No Bush kissing. Not on TV. Yeah, get a room, guys.
That was almost like a plan. That's kind of like a scene out of The Godfather or something.
Yeah, just no ring. Hey, Wayne, we're out of time, man. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
See ya.
Bye.
Oh, maybe we can talk about this some more tomorrow. The show tonight, of course, was produced by the lovely and talented Taylor Sky, engineered with a vengeance by Randy Kerbway, and announced, at least in part, by Brian Reznor, brought to you, as ever, by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation, whom you heard the governor mention this evening. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. The show is archived every night at whiterosesociety.org. You can listen to the show 24/7 and no charge. So by all means, avail yourself of it. Thanks to everyone. I'm going to go home and hit the honey and lemon or something and see if I can do something about this wombat in my throat. Hey, oh, have I got a surprise for you, Agnes. I'm not going to do that.